This is a download from unofficialmills.co.uk.
This is Radio 1.
Right, it's 6.09 and our guest this evening is Mr. Paul McKenna. Hello.
Hey, it's great to see you, Scott.
You're right.
Lovely to be here. Yeah, really fantastic, actually.
Good to have you on. We were just discussing, you're like some kind of superhero to us.
Oh, God, that's very kind of you.
Because you can do anything.
I don't know about that.
Now, Chappers is a bit of a problem at the moment.
Well, yeah. Like,
maybe you could help with...
What's the problem?
Well, pain, is that caused by something in your brain?
It's actually caused because something hurts.
Oh, right. Well, because I have I have bleeding nipples at the moment, jogger's nipple.
And jogger's nipple.
Jogger's nipple, and they're very sore.
Yeah.
And if
you're sure, you sure it's from that?
No, it's I'm positive. It's not. It's nothing to do with clamps, chainmail vests, or anything like that.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to put you off straight away.
No.
But is the pain from them, is that some kind of thing going on in my brain, or is it just because they're scabby and
bleeding? Ultimately, it ends up, it's a signal from your body saying that it's hurting, that ends up as a message in your brain. And you can use techniques to switch pain off. In fact, you know, any sports person or, you know, people in the military learn to override pain as part of
their
job.
So you could isolate my nipples from the rest of my body.
I could do a nipple desensitization, yes.
Brilliant.
Wow. Obviously, you two will be having a private session on that one.
I hope that last sentence doesn't come back to haunt you.
Yeah, nipple desensitization. It'd be a good name for a band, wouldn't it?
Also, Paul, I've got mice in my house at the moment.
Yes.
Now, is that something you could do?
You know,
I can get rid of your mice by Paul McKenna.
It's another blockbuster, isn't it? It's a great book. I hadn't thought of that. No, I don't know anything about mice.
Okay, I'll just put some traps down then. It's all fine.
It's probably best.
Now, you've kind of moved away from all the stage stuff now, haven't you?
Yeah, that's right. I haven't for a few years got anyone to dance like a ballerina.
That was funny.
You know, I know they were very good fun. I used to love doing those shows. Yeah. Although, I did a few years ago, I hypnotised Richard Hammond to forget how to drive a car. And then we got him to review this car. And he's standing there, he goes, "So, let's look at the new Alfa Romeo." And he jumps in. And he's looking confused, and he starts pushing the cigarette lighter. And I'm sure this button starts it. And I'm pointing at the steering wheel. I said, "What does that do?" And he goes, "It does something. I'm not sure what it is." And Jeremy Clarkson's crying with laughter. It's on YouTube.
Yeah.
If you put Richard Hammond hypnotized into YouTube, you'll find it.
That's good. What we could do maybe is combine the two. I can change your life by making you dance like a chicken.
Yeah, it'd be a good, I suppose, a good combination. That, yeah, sort of a comedy way to change.
So, I mean, is that stuff a bit old hat now?
Well, I suppose it's not. I mean, it'll always be something that people want to see, is people making fools of themselves and letting their hair down. That's what karaoke is.
But now you do think of this, don't you?
Look at my eyes, look at my eyes. The others, yeah, around the eyes, don't look around the eyes, look at my eyes. I have not been taking your underwear home, putting it on in my bedroom, and then parading up and down in front of the mirror going, ooh.
Yeah.
Do you know, I got to tell you a funny story, because I get that everywhere.
Yeah, I bet.
Thanks to those
Sorry,
two. No, I don't mind. But it was a few months ago, I was driving along, and so it was a Sunday morning, there was no traffic about, and the lights were amber. And I shouldn't have done this, but there was no traffic around, so I went through an amber light. Anyway, 2 seconds later, from nowhere. So I pulled over, heart's racing a bit, I think I'm busted. I get out, two policemen get out, put on their hats, one of them goes, "Oh, look who it is." I thought, I might be all right here. He goes, "Look into my eyes, look into my eyes. Don't look around the eyes." The other policeman's laughing so hard, he's having to lean against the police car. And with that, the one who's going, "Look into my eyes," starts clucking like a chicken. He goes, "I'll have to let him off, I'll have to let him off." And they were dying of laughter. I thought, I might get away with this. They went, "Now, you know what you did." I said, "Yes, I do, officer." They went, "Go on, off you go." And that was it.
Oh, so you got off.
That's good. So it came in handy.
That's really good. Now, I want to talk to you about time when we had a dog in the studio, and Chappers got hypnotized by this dog, didn't you?
No.
Well, you hypnotized it.
It was called, have you heard of Hypno Dogs?
It was supposed to hypnotize.
I know, it's a hypnotist. Hypnotizes you, and then hypnotizes you. When the dog looks at you, you go into a trance.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't work. The dog fell asleep.
Is it? And also, you know, we did regression a while back.
Yeah.
Can I just ask? It was a bit strange. Yeah. Why does everyone always think that they were Joan of Arc?
Or Mary, Queen of Scots?
Yeah.
Or why are they never a fish?
Or a dinner lady or something? Yeah. You're always William the Conqueror.
I know. Do you know, it's one of those things, I've seen it done a lot of times, and I have to say, most of the time I thought, nonsense, nonsense, but sometimes people come out with all sorts of bizarre historical facts that there's not a logical explanation for. They can suddenly speak in a foreign language they can't normally speak.
Really?
But I find more interesting is future progression, where you take somebody into an imagined future. You ask their mind to compute, if I carry on this course, where will I end up when I'm 50? Or, if you believe in such things, you know, where would I end up in a future life, if you believe in reincarnation? And that is really interesting. So it sort of gives you a snapshot of your karma, if you like.
Oh, that would scare the life out of me.
I wouldn't like that. God.
Knowing what was going to happen in the future. No, God, like that'd be horrible.
You'd look like David Dickinson.
How rude.
Is that why you're scared of that?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great to do on you.
In 20 years' time, Scott, you will be Dr. Fox.
20?
10. Now, you do help quite a lot of famous people, don't you?
Yes. I'm very shallow, you see. If a famous person rings me and says, would you, I come out, yes, come over now.
Right.
So, yeah.
Does that happen a lot?
Yeah,
when
it does.
Just ring you.
Yeah, supermodels, actors, and yeah, it's great. I mean, it's one of the great things about my job is I get to meet and then drive mad all kinds of celebrities. Mm. You know, at the end of a session, sometimes I say, "Now, sorry, I know we finished hypnosis. I must now
get
ask
your checkbook
you."
Out.
Yeah, sorry. Tell me. But you know, I actually never charge anyone for therapy. I never have. I ask them to give some money to charity because life's been very good to me in other ways. So I do that, but then I do drive them mad. I say, "Oh, come tell me about the stories, you know, when your band was on the road, or you know, that sort of thing." It's
right.
Great.
Wow. So you get good stories out of them.
Oh,
you spoke to David Walliams before his channel Swim, didn't you?
Yes, I did hypnotise David. So for two things: firstly, to override the pain, because there's, you know, it's takes a lot of energy. It's very stressful, but also
but his nipples really hurt.
His I think were very red. But actually to also make the time pass quicker, so you can distort time, you can make it seem like it's, because it was 10 hours, and make it seem like it's going a lot quicker. And what he did was he replayed as he was swimming all kinds of great moments from movies that he loved and great moments from his life, so the time went much more quickly.
Wow. And did he get back in touch and say, yes, it worked for me?
Oh, God, yeah. He did it in record time. He swam the channel, and he said that it definitely helped.
Yeah. Now, Laura, you didn't have a session with Paul before.
No,
you did. You,
I was there.
Yeah. She was in a boat by the side of him.
Oh, yeah.
It was like she was doing it with him.
It was. But I'm mentally stronger, I think.
Do you think?
David.
Yeah. You should have gone, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe in the future, if you decide to do it again.
You want to do it?
Yeah. Well, I'll call on you if I sit in a boat again.
You could do it the time passing quicker thing, couldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. I'd go in the boat.
Here's the thing, Paul.
Yeah.
Could you sort Brittany out?
Do you know, I, in all honesty, I think probably not, because I don't think she wants to be sorted. I think, I don't think she's ready for that yet, you know. And I mean, I know it's great fodder for comedy, but it's also kind of sad and tragic. I mean, when you look at her and it's just tragic seeing how it's all fallen apart, don't you think? I mean, I feel, you know, terrible for her when I look at it.
But when she is ready, you'll be right there.
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. As soon as that phone rings, the opportunity to, you know, particularly...
Get the stories out.
All that paparazzi. Yeah, it's great stories.
Yes, because because you'll be around the corner. You're moving to Los Angeles, aren't you?
In fact, I live next door to where she used to live. So one of her bodyguards lives there now, but where she used to live with Justin Timberlake. Yeah.
Wow.
But I'm glad I didn't live next door to her now, because it's a sea of paparazzi.
You don't want to live there now, do you?
All the time.
No. So I mean, you've got this new. Is it a new house?
I have. Just moved to Los Angeles. Yeah.
Okay. 5 bedrooms, 4 bathrooms, 4 garages.
4?
God, he wouldn't have got that if he was still on Radio 1, would he?
Says you with your West Wing and your East Wing.
Yeah, whatever. And one of your neighbours is Brittany Murphy.
Is it?
Yeah. Apparently, yeah.
God, that's good.
Have you not popped round with the neighbours yet?
Well,
I'm the new neighbour.
The houses are not very... It's not like Coronation Street. They're not very close
not
together.
Not close together. You've probably got big old gates there, haven't you, Paul?
You're bloody right, yeah. Security.
Oh, okay. And you've got a new show starting in America, don't you?
I have, yeah. I've just signed a 3-year deal. I'm moving to America, and I'm very excited about it. Los Angeles is... Look, it's a town of ruthless overachievers. You know, it's like going to Lourdes for me. It's fantastic. So I'm really looking forward
to it. Do you like it, though? Because it is full of
love
people.
I love it. And do you know, at the moment, it's absolutely full of Brits. You know, if you turn on the television, you've got Simon Cowell, Gordon Ramsay, Piers Morgan, Cat Deeley, you know, and all behind the cameras, you've got tons of Brits as well. You've got David Beckham, Robbie Williams. Also, you just everywhere, you know, it's tons of really great British people everywhere.
Are they your new friends now in Los Angeles?
Some of them, yes. Yeah.
Wow. It's great, isn't it?
You're just thinking about the future, aren't you? You're wondering how you can go from Radio 1 to... I know how you're thinking, how you can go from Radio 1 to LA.
Might have crossed my mind. You know, I'm a dreamer.
This is Radio 1.
6:22. Our record of the week is by One Republic. It's called Stop and Stare, and it's next. Paul McKenna is with us. Hello.
Hello.
Now, Laura's got a question for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Laura.
Now... You've got a wife, haven't you?
No.
No?
No, I'm single.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. I recently split with my girlfriend.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Now, that changes it.
Okay.
But
in what way?
Surely you could get any woman...
Yeah.
Yeah.
...that
anyone.
You would like.
Just well, do you know, people say this to me. They ask me if I use my powers to seduce women. And, you know, I always say, no, look, I want to help people. I want to help people with their problems. And besides, you know, I want to help people quit smoking and lose weight and those sorts of things. And, you know, besides, obviously, there are lots of women who, you know, are mad keen on me, mostly fat smokers. But
I have that as well, and I can't even help anybody.
Yeah, what's that about?
Now, yeah. I've been asking my boyfriend, James, to marry me almost every day.
Because it is a leap year, so it's allowed.
Yeah. Is there any way that you could give me a few tips that I could just try on him when I get home
You don't
tonight?
Know, because you're actually speaking to the most rubbish person at relationships. You know, that's the thing. I my publishers have said to me, can you do a book on relationships? It's a big category. But I think...
You haven't done that one, have you?
No, but if I could
thin,
stay...
rich, confident, fun, non-smoker.
But
relationships.
I know, if I could stay in a relationship, I'd be able to do a book on it. So, no. But, I can tell you this much. This is what I do know, is that people... everyone's got their own preference. Their own, if you like, love preference. Like, for example, some people think in pictures, some people think in sounds, and some people think predominantly this is in feelings.
Right.
So somebody who's visually oriented, they like a present, right? They like to see something.
Right.
Somebody who's auditory, like myself, they need to be told that I love you, yeah? Mm. And a kinesthetic, a feeling person, you have to touch them when you tell them I love you, yeah?
Right.
So somebody who's visual, you know, so what would your boyfriend be? Is he like, does he prefer picture, sounds, or feelings?
He likes presents.
Yeah, so, visual.
How do you know?
I've seen what she's going to buy him for his birthday.
Right.
I could wrap myself up in a big bow, tell him I love him, and then touch him a bit.
Cover all bases.
Which one is he?
All three, I think. Oh. Or does it have to be one or two?
Well, we are all three, but we prefer one. Like, for example, if I ask you, just tell me a bit about yourself. What do you like? Do you like to get a present?
Yeah.
Do you like to be told by somebody that they love you?
She's been asking me to buy her some really expensive shoes for the last 6 months.
You're not my boyfriend, though. Shut up.
Still ask.
Yeah, no, you're visual. Oh. Look where your eyes moved. Yeah, your eyes, they moved up.
So you can tell he is like a superhero.
I think she was more rolling them.
All right, so you can tell that.
Yeah, you like a present, I would say.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with a present.
All right.
Watch where his eyes move. They move up, he's making pictures. If they move to the side, his sounds move down, he's into feelings.
Right. And then how do I get him to marry me from that?
Well, you see, that's a bit of a push, that is. Yeah? I'm just getting you into the sort of the stages of the...
One step at a time.
Yeah, one step at a time. And look,
it's quite a lengthy process, isn't it, really?
I think, do you know what you should do? Maybe ask one of his mates. That might be, because he might be able to tell you where he stands.
Well,
you know?
I really fancy him. Can you get him to marry me?
Yeah, do it that way. That always works. And bribe him as well. It's excellent.
Thanks very much.
Yeah. I think Laura's a bit disappointed because she did book you on the premise that you would be able to get James to marry her.
I know.
But,
you know,
hey,
I know. Well, all right, bring him round, all right, and I'll say, look into my eyes, look in my eyes. You're under. When you wake up, you'll want to marry Laura. Yeah. You'll feel obsessed with her.
That'd
she
be
will be everything that you want. And woman, 3, 2, 1, you're back in the room. Will that do?
Please, yes, please.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Could you hypnotise our listeners to make sure they listen every day?
Well, I think they do anyway, Scott. I mean, frankly, what's the competition, eh?
Mm-hmm. You say
know?
That.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so that's a no.
It's going on. It's going on, isn't it? I mean, this show is a happening show, isn't it?
Well,
I listen to this show.
Do you?
Yeah, absolutely. Ooh. I wanted to hear the popular beat combos that the young people of today are listening to.
So what's your thing that you're kind of doing most at the moment? It's Make You Thin, right?
Yeah, it's Make You Thin. I've updated my Thin book and re-released it in it, and I'm very proud to say it's number one on the book charts at the moment, and it's something I feel very passionate about. It's not just a commercial venture. For me, it's a real passion to help people lose weight, something an area I feel I've made a big breakthrough in. And now that's
how
what
did
I'm
you,
gonna,
How did you find that? How did you discover that?
Well, I studied people that were overweight and people that were naturally thin and figured out the difference wasn't really to do with the food, because, you know, people are overweight, always trying to lose weight by changing the food. One week it'll be carbohydrates, then it'll be all about cabbage, and then it'll be all about, and you know, what they do is they lose weight in the short term, but they put it back on again. And I realized it's because thin people eat chocolate, cheese, chips and pizza, but they just don't eat it to excess. So it's not the food, but it's the way we think about the food and the way we behave around it. All of our decisions about what we eat, when we eat, and how much we eat take place in our minds. Our mind's a bit like a computer. And what I have developed is a way of reprogramming it. So I studied people that were naturally thin, and I found out they think differently about food and about themselves to people that are overweight, and they behave a bit differently. They eat slower, generally. You know, people that are overweight think about food all day long, except when they're eating it, and then they shovel the food in their mouths as fast as they can, like they're in a race. And because they're going so fast, they can't hear the signal from their tummies that says they're full. So I get them to slow their eating speed down and make little changes like that that have a big effect over time.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I come from a family where nearly everyone's overweight, and, you know...
Are they all thin now?
No, that's the thing. Well, my mother's not overweight, right. But yeah, no, I know. And but you know, I'd also be told I was, you know, it's like being in the thin plate, the clean plate club is what I would call it. My mum and dad would say to me, "Come along, eat up." You know, there's starving children in various parts of the world, and I would say, "Well, me being overweight doesn't help them, really, does it? You know, if I want to leave some food, let me leave it, you know." And they would say, "There's no need to be like that." And I'd say, "Well, I'm sorry, I am like that. I was born like that. I'm cantankerous, you know."
Yeah.
So basically, from my cantankerousness and curiosity about human beings came this system, this breakthrough.
Can you do fear of flying as well? Because I couldn't get on a plane for years.
Yeah, absolutely. Fear of flying has become much more prevalent now since 9/11. And it's actually very, you know, it's a very straightforward fear to do.
Right.
Are you still scared of flying?
If there's turbulence, I do get a bit of a twinge, and not in a good way. I can
pray for the plane to bounce.
I don't what?
You pray for the plane to bounce.
Put the seatbelt sign back on. I can get on a plane, but it's not my favourite at all.
No. Well, it's very easy, and I'm just I've been working on phobias for a long time.
I listen to all the noises, like, "Oh, what's that?" "Oh, the wings fell off." That's what I think in my head.
That's do you know what Chris Moyles told me? And this is so funny. He said, when he gets on a plane, he looks around to see what other celebrities are sitting there. So he thinks, if the plane crashes, would it be Radio 1 DJ Chris Moyles died
what
in
kind
a plane
of
plane crash?
Is he taking private ones?
Well,
I've never had a celebrity on the plane.
He goes left. In first class.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And,
yeah.
And he says, if he sees another celebrity, say he sees, I don't know, Harrison Ford, it would be Harrison Ford died in a plane. Also on board was Radio 1 DJ. And that's his biggest fear. He's going to be also on board.
Or someone might upstage him.
Yes.
In death.
Yeah. That's brilliant. Listen, Paul, thank you very much for coming in today.
Scott, it's such a pleasure. It's lovely to meet you. And and I listen to the show. I'm a fan, so it's a pleasure to be here.
There are a couple of thin, non-smoking women who've texted in saying they like you. Do you want those texts?
Yeah, right. Get them printed off.
Just do a phone in on those.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
This is One Republic on Radio 1. It's our record of the week.